The following is brought to you by Mosaic Christian Church, a church for people who don't go to church. For more information, visit mosaicchristian.org.
What is up, Mosaic? I'm back. I am glad. I appreciate your love. I am glad you survived the eclipse. The world did not end. Hopefully you can see me and you did not stare into the sun. If you haven't been here in 4 weeks either, and you're wondering why they're cheering, it's because I haven't been here in 4 weeks, but we're glad you're back too. I take once a year a four-week study break. And what I do during that time, I went on a week and a half of vacation with the family, which was fantastic. Got to spend a couple weeks really studying and doing some longer range planning, working on some sermon series and just some other stuff we have coming up. Got to visit a few churches, which is always really helpful and inspirational for me. I love that we have another staff person in Jonathan who can preach great when I'm not here. I'm going to give you a lot to cheer for right now. I love our entire staff team that is great leaders. You don't know how great it is to be able to just not be here and still know church is going to be fantastic because they've taken care of everything. And more than anything, you really need to go nuts on this one because you're clapping for yourself and the person next to you. I love our 480 volunteers who make this place welcoming every single week. I got to tell you, 11:45, you brought the energy today. I'm pretty impressed so far. Ready for Love Week. I see your shirts. Impact Week. My bad. You call it the wrong thing, too. I also really appreciate our board because they aren't just okay with me taking a study break. They really encourage that, and we've had conversations about this, and they get the pressure that I am under in this role. You don't understand. I mean, part of my job is preaching, but you don't understand. When you walk up these four steps, turn around, and face on average 900 adults every weekend who stare at you with their arms crossed and a look of, what you got for me this week that's going to make my life better, boy? It is intimidating. It is scary every time. So these 4 weeks off of preaching get me rejuvenated and excited for the year to come. Also, while I was gone these past 4 weeks, you baptized 14 people. So next week, I'm going to take 10 weeks off. I'm not preaching next week, but I will be preaching every week after that through Thanksgiving, and I am pumped. Now, let me say a couple things. While I was gone, we had Charlottesville and monuments and all kinds of stuff. So I want to reiterate for you what I believe about this stuff. Here is the fundamental problem in our country. It is not racial tension. It is not a history of slavery. It is not economic inequality. It is not whoever happens to be president at the moment. The fundamental problem in our country is sin. We are all born with a sinful nature that exalts self first. We reject what God says is best, and that leads to death every time. So at Mosaic, please understand our philosophy. We do not make a practice of addressing every single specific thing that goes wrong in our country or in our world that week because we address the fundamental problem every week by preaching the gospel. The Christian is called to do two things in our world: love others and preach the gospel. Every week you hear in this room, Jesus is the answer to your problems personally, to your problems eternally, to our world's problems. Following Jesus is a better way to live. And I've said this before, but our church's response to what is wrong with our world is summed up in Impact Week. And I say Impact Week, but that really represents what we do all year round. Because most of the organizations you're going to serve with this week, we've actually been doing projects with them all year round. You just didn't know it. It's on our website. You can keep serving in the months to come. In fact, it's not just here in Maryland. This year, we're sending trips to Haiti, Poland, South Africa, and Kenya. And it's not just Mosaic. We've started churches in Brooklyn, Miami, Cape Town, South Africa, Philadelphia, Annapolis, Silver Spring, Limerick, Ireland, and Federal Hill. Because, you can clap for that. Because our world is infected with a sin virus, and it's not going away. So when a sinful world is sinful, the Christian is saddened, but not surprised. We know the only time it's ever going away is when Jesus returns and sets things right, and those who have accepted his grace will live forever with him in heaven. So we preach and we serve. Preaching without serving is empty. Serving without preaching is meaningless. It's our words and our actions coming together in which we will show you and tell you about the love of Christ. It is what you personally need. It is what our world needs. We are not going to fix our world with a different president. What is going to fix our world is not better education. What's going to fix our world is not a march. Ultimately, the only thing that is going to fix our world is people getting on their knees and humbly repenting and turning to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross, was raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, and who one day will return to bring justice and mercy for all time. Only then will things be set right forever. Only then will there be no more injustice. Only then will pain and crying and tears go away, because those things will have passed away and he makes all things new. So if what you see in the news bothers you, one, serve others in the name of Jesus, and two, tell them to repent and turn to Jesus. Otherwise, you're not addressing the root problem. So we don't address everything that happens in our culture, because we do address it every week by saying, you need Jesus. This isn't my sermon yet. This is just what I feel like saying today. And I'm not done. This is why we are doing everything we're doing this fall as a church. Because Jesus alone offers true life. That is why we give our lives to his mission. So I'm going to tell you what's coming up in this church. This week, starting in a couple hours, is Impact Week. Bigger than ever before. Not too late to sign up for a project. Go to the website. You can still sign up for some. Next week, we're going to celebrate Impact Week. The week after, September 9 and 10, we're having a kickoff weekend. It's NFL kickoff that weekend. We want you to wear your NFL jerseys to church. If you're a Ravens fan, we know you love Jesus. If you have a Steelers jersey, we will pray for your soul. It's going to be our kickoff for our fall ministry season. We're going to have a tailgate outside at both locations. It's a tailgate minus booze, which I'm sorry about. Like, I'm really sorry about that. We're going to have a moon bounce for the kids, not the adults. Moon bounce for the kids. We're going to make a big push that month for you to get more connected than you've ever been. We want you to come here anonymously. We don't want you to stay anonymous. We want you to get plugged in so you can build deep friendships here. So that weekend, we're also going to be launching a series called Instamacy. Instamacy. We live in a world, Instagram world, where we're more connected with people than ever, but we also feel more alone than ever. And so we're going to dive into Scripture to see ways we can live where we can develop true, intimate friendships like Jesus wants us to have. Let me also point out, while I was gone, our team made some new invite cards, and they're available on your way out today. You're going to want to grab some of these to hand out during Impact Week, to hand out leading up to the Intimacy series. These don't take the place of an invitation, but these can supplement the invitation. So grab a stack of these, because you know people who need hope. And this is a practical way you can invite them this week and ongoing. Then our growth groups this fall are going to be doing something awesome that you don't want to miss. In my opinion, I know this is a big promise, I think it's going to be our best semester of growth groups yet. I'm not allowed to tell you why yet. They won't let me. You'll hear next week if you're here at church. It's going to be fantastic. Then, mid-October, we're going to kick off a capital campaign to raise more money than we have ever raised in the history of this church. We're going to try and raise millions of dollars above our normal giving over a couple years, because we own a building. We want to renovate it so we can move into it next year. Following that, we're going to do a series called Dealing with Difficult People, because I think that's what you need at the holidays. Then we will have Christmas at Mosaic. And this is my favorite church service of the whole year. Please mark your calendars now. I know you're doing travel and family and all that kind of stuff. Just make a decision today. We will schedule everything else around Christmas at Mosaic. We're not going to schedule church around everything else, because Christmas is about Jesus, and being at church is going to center you on what you need to focus on in this Christmas season coming up in a few months. Then in January, if everything goes well, we raise the money we hope to raise, construction renovations will begin at the new building, and we'll be able to move into that next year. I do want to point out, a lot more of you clapped that we're going to get in the new building than clapped that we're going to raise money for the new building. We can't have one without the other. Just want to point that out. So all of that is coming up. And the reason for all of that is very simple. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope. And that's why we connect. That's why we worship. That's why we give. That's why we serve. Jesus is the reason we're doing all this. So what I want to do before I get in the meat of the message, I want to pray for God's blessing on Impact Week. I want to pray God's blessing on everything we have coming up this fall. Then we'll dive into Scripture. Let's pray. God, our band just sang a song from the radio that talks about we want to do whatever it takes. And that sounds cool and a good beat on a Sunday morning. But God, that's what we want to be our theme this week. That as we pour ourselves into Impact Week, we will do whatever it takes to love people where they are, to serve our broken world, because we live in a broken world. We are broken people, broken by sin. And we know our only hope is Jesus Christ. So Jesus, will you bless our efforts this week to reach out and serve those around us? Help us get outside our comfort zone. I also pray, Jesus, that you would bless this entire fall at Mosaic, from our relationships to our serving, from our growth groups to raising money, because we want to make much of Jesus. And Jesus, I'll just pray publicly what I tell you privately. I do not take this church for granted. I do not. I love our board. I love our staff. I love my wife who keeps this thing going and loves me and keeps me focused. I love my kids who keep me grounded. I love the volunteers who serve. I love the first-time guests who are giving you a shot. Thank you for real hope. And Jesus, we've learned some good things from you in this Roots series. I pray today that you'll teach us something good about you so we can experience true life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So these next 4 months, as you can tell, are going to be the most important we've ever had as a church. They're going to be the busiest 4 months we've ever had, and I believe has the most potential for life change. So let me ask you a question. If you were Satan, what would you want to do to the people of Mosaic during this upcoming fall season? I'll tell you what I think. If I was Satan, and I'm not, contrary to what my kids will say at bedtime, I would try to discourage you. I would. Because if I could discourage you about the mission of Jesus, here's what would happen, guaranteed. You'd be skeptical of what the preacher said in the intimacy series. You'd wall yourself off and you wouldn't really get the friendships that Jesus wants you to have. You'd be cynical of a church trying to raise millions of dollars in big fancy building and think, well, that's just for show. They don't care about what they used to care about. Then you wouldn't get involved and it'd hamper the whole project and bring in thousands of people hope for years to come. You'd opt out of getting in the group because you tried that once, didn't go so well, so your faith wouldn't be challenged to grow this fall because of the thing that people have been working hours to prepare for you. So I believe if Satan can get you discouraged about ministry, you won't experience everything God has to offer. You just won't. In fact, I'll tell you this. This sermon actually started as a leadership talk I gave to our staff about 2 years ago, I think. I was feeling a little discouraged. I kind of sensed maybe some other staff people were. So I used a story that we've been looking at in this Roots series to say, hey, don't get discouraged. Here's what Jesus says about what we're facing. And I realized I should actually bring it to the whole church because leadership is influence. And if you're plugged in here, you're an influencer. So I think this is good to talk about as we enter Impact Week and lead into the fall. Now, I will tell you, if you're a first-time guest, today is going to be slightly different because it's really aimed at the influencers, those who give, those who serve, that type of person. But I want you to know you are going to hear the most important thing we have to offer today, so stay with me. See, we get discouraged by lots of different things in life. I actually made a whole list. But the thing I want to focus on is when we get discouraged about God's mission. A lot of things can get me discouraged about participating in God's mission of bringing his lost kids home. I get discouraged when I get criticized. I get discouraged when I try something and it fails. I get discouraged when I lead someone and they mess up. But nothing gets me more discouraged than when I hear of people giving up. And the same thing is true for you. You've experienced this. It's when a married couple's having problems, they ask you for help, you're humbled and honored, you pour yourselves into them, but then they get divorced anyway. It's when you mentor someone, give up hours of your life to pour into them over a long period of time, they just flake out. It's when you have a friendship that you feel pretty good about, but then they walk away, don't even say goodbye. And I think the most discouraging thing, if you're on God's mission, The most discouraging thing is when someone walks away from God completely. And I think that's why this series has resonated with you. Because you know, if you follow Jesus, that could happen to me. The first week of this series, I had two props up here with me. I had a vase of roses that looked great, and we had a rose bush that was planted. And we said, which one would you rather get as a gift? Obviously the roses, because it's prettier, but which one would you rather be? The answer is obvious. It's the rose bush, because the roses in the vase are dead. It's just a matter of time, but this one's rooted, so it can bear flowers for years to come if it's taken care of. And that's the point of this series. Jim and John and I have said, you deal with the soil of your heart. Till that soil, so it's not rocky, it's not shallow, it's not thorny, and God's word can take root and sprout up in your heart. But today I want to look at it from a different perspective, because we've been looking at this story from the perspective of the soil. Like, our heart is the soil. How do we make our heart good soil? Today I want to flip it and look at it from the perspective of the sower and put ourselves in the place of the farmer. Because in the story, the farmer experiences all kinds of different results, and I want us to learn from him how we live out God's mission. So hear me. If you want to improve race relations, if you want to help broken marriages, if you want to raise godly men, what we're going to learn today is essential for you to live out so you don't get discouraged and throw in the towel. Because I've seen people, and you have seen people, who are pouring their lives into God's mission. They were making an impact. They were doing good things, but they got discouraged and they walked away from all of it. And it hurt them and it left other people waiting. I don't want that to happen to you. So here's the story again, Matthew chapter 13. He, Jesus, told many stories in the form of parables. A parable is simply an everyday story that has a spiritual meaning, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. Since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as been planted. So that's a story. You've heard that in this series. I want to break down the soil, the seed, and the sower. That's my outline. Soil, seed, sower. So Jesus explains in verse 19, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. And this is the person who's just beginning to engage with Jesus. They're just beginning to come to church. They're just hearing grace and truth for the first time. They're genuinely excited about it. They don't understand it yet, but before they can get it all the way, they're thrown off track and they never receive it. This is the person that you bring to Mosaic in their first visit. They absolutely love it. They didn't know they could like church. They didn't know the Bible could be understandable. They didn't know Jesus might actually be for them. They're genuinely excited, but then life distracts them and they just never come back. So let me tell you real quick. We will be patient with those who don't understand. If the gospel has not yet penetrated your heart, this is a safe place for you to explore. We don't make you believe before you can belong. We will explain. We won't give up. We will be patient because we care about you and we love you. Verse 20, Jesus says, the seed on rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. First visit to Mosaic, they want to get baptized, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Now, you know this person. You have a person like this in your life. This is the person who, next time you see them, they're going to say, oh man, I just found this great weight loss thing. I'm going to lose 20 pounds in 4 weeks, and I can still eat whatever I want. And then you're going to run into them 6 weeks after that. They're going to have given up on that diet plan, but they're going to say, man, I found this way to make millions. I hardly even have to work, and if you want to have a meeting with me, I can instruct you how to make millions too, and I'll actually make money off of you. And you decline that, but you meet up with them again 6 weeks after that, and they've forgotten about the making millions thing, but now they found the girl of their dreams, and they say, man, we're going to get married. This is the girl I've been looking for. We're going to be married forever. And you just know, this ain't going to last. See, sometimes I'll see people, I'll meet them in the lobby, they'll come to church and act like Mosaic and Jesus are the best thing they've ever encountered. But I want to see, do you get on a team? Do you start giving? Do you get in a group? Do you go on a mission trip? Do you do something to get connected and sink deep roots down? Otherwise, you're going to be the rocky soil and you won't last. Or it's a person who gets it, but then things get hard. See, let me remind you, life will be hard. Following Jesus doesn't mean you don't have problems. It just means you have someone to help you through your problems. It just means you have hope in your problems. So let me just remind you, in case we're not clear, church will let you down. This church will. Other Christians will let you down. I, as your pastor, at some place, I know it's hard to imagine, will let you down. It says they're persecuted for believing God's word. Jesus predicts if you stand on God's unchanging truth, people will oppose you. Listen, following Jesus doesn't exempt your life from being hard. I spent my week planning a funeral for a baby. You will have hard times. They killed Jesus. Look at verse 21. It says, you will have problems. You will be persecuted for believing God's word. They are non-negotiables. And I know somebody in here is going through that hard time right now. People are making fun of you for believing the Bible, calling you a bigot, or you're just facing life being hard. And let me remind you, because you're thinking, is this worth it? And I think when you look at it logically and realize, through Jesus, I have grace, I have endless second chances, I have heaven when I die, and I will have the best life right now because I'm going to suffer anyway, so I might as well suffer with someone who will give me hope. I think it is worth it. Hang in there. Verse 22 says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. And I'll tell you what this sounds like, because leaders of this church hear this all the time. When someone's in thorny soil, it sounds like this. We like Mosaic, but my kid's in the sports league. Or I got to work on the weekends because I need the overtime. Or I'm in this competition or club or travel group or hobby, so I got to drop off a serving team for a while. Listen, when you tell that to the leader of this church, it doesn't matter if they're volunteer staff, doesn't matter. Here's what they're thinking. They're thinking, don't do it. It's thorns. It's going to get you. And that overtime or that sport or whatever that is, it's going to ensnare you and you're not going to come back. Or if you do, you're going to miss out on the great things God wants to do in your life right now. And please don't do that, because Jesus alone offers life, and your kid's sport doesn't offer life, and that overtime doesn't offer life. Jesus will get you through this thing if you put him first. So don't get caught up in the thorns. So that's the soil. Let's talk about the seed. Seed is the gospel. I want you to notice the seed stayed the same. The farmer didn't have different types of seed for the different types of soil there. It would have been foolish for the farmer to say, I need to throw something out here besides seed. But that's what I want to do sometimes. That's what the chatterbox will tell you. Water down the gospel, doubt God's plan for marriage, don't tell that person they need to be saved. In those moments where you aren't sure you should speak up, you aren't sure if Jesus' way is best, you aren't sure if you should trust the seed, the question really is, do I believe this or not? So listen to me, Mosaic. Our hope is the gospel. Our hope is not in a style of ministry. Our hope is not in a pastor. And our hope is definitely not in any building, past, present, or future. In fact, when we interview worship leader candidates to hire, we sometimes have to explain to them why in church we do songs from the radio. And sometimes they think we're just trying to be cool, which couldn't be farther from the truth. We're not trying to be cool. We're trying to contextualize. So we take something God says in his word. We find a song that ties in with that, so people realize in church, oh, the thing that I sing about in my car when I'm alone actually ties into the scriptural truth. So it's not just a cool beat. It's something going on in my soul in the depths of who I am that my creator cares about and actually wants to redeem. So we're contextualizing it. Just like I wouldn't get on the stage and speak in a language you don't understand, because you need the gospel explained in a way you can understand. That's what we do in our style of ministry. There is no power in cool. There is power in the gospel. So we're going to celebrate communion when I'm finished. We'll pass a tray down your row. We want you to take a stack of cups. There's cracker in one, juice in the other, representing the body and blood of Jesus. We want you to eat and drink those while the band is playing to be reminded of the gospel. Here's the gospel. God created you as good, but you sinned. You rejected him and did things your own way. That results in death. Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross in your place. If you accept that by repenting and being baptized, your sin goes on to Jesus. His perfection is placed on you. Then you will experience the best life right now, not meaning you will be healthy and wealthy, just meaning life with Jesus is the best life no matter what happens, and you get heaven forever. It's free. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's why we exist as a church. It's why we have hope forever. It's why we give our time, our money, our energy, our lives to this thing, because we believe that through the grace of Jesus, hope is real. And that's why we say, with Paul, I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Our hope is the gospel. Every human in history is looking how to be made right with God. It just said the gospel tells us how to do that. So actually, I have a confession to make. There have been times, even this year, where I looked at somebody and asked them to join a serving team, and I was kind of embarrassed about it. And there was a time where I looked into somebody's eyes and told them they should tithe. You should give 10% of your income to God's mission because that's what he tells you to do in the Bible, so I just know it's the best way to live. And I felt awkward. And there was a time where I invited somebody to church, and I didn't really do it with passion because, to be honest, I was a little embarrassed about it because I didn't know how they'd take it. And I had to check myself and ask the question, Carl, do you really believe what you say you believe? Because if you really believe grace is real, in the second chances are real. And if you really believe God's community called the church is in the mission of saving lives for eternity, then why in the world would you be awkward or embarrassed about asking people to give their lives to the thing that's going to bring life to them? And I had to repent for that. So if you consider yourself an influencer in this church for God's kingdom, let me say something to you. Never, never be embarrassed about asking somebody to do something that is the best thing for them. Never apologize or feel insecure when you're inviting someone to bump into Jesus. Don't feel awkward when you challenge somebody to give or serve because Jesus says that is the best thing for them. You're asking people to bring the gospel to life in them. So don't apologize. Be proud of the gospel. Boast in the strategy we have to live that out. I mean, think about the farmer in the story. It would have been utterly foolish for him to throw out anything in that field besides seed. I mean, if you saw him throwing marbles, you would have thought he lost his marbles. What's he going to throw? Seed. And how foolish it would be of us to put our hope in anything other than the gospel. The gospel is the seed. We are not ashamed of it. We are proud of it. And God help us if we feel embarrassed for asking people to accept the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. There's only one seed that brings true life, and it is Jesus. So we've talked about the soil, talked about the seed. Let's talk about the sower, the farmer. When you think about this, now go with me here. The farmer looks crazy. I mean, think about this. Let me explain. No good farmer would try and grow seed in the places that he scatters seed. This farmer wasted his time. I think the farmer in the story was even naive. You could maybe say he was hopeful, but the reality is he was throwing seed into thorns and on a path hoping it was going to grow. I mean, I'm not a farmer, but I can tell you that's not going to grow. I think it was about a year ago, I mentioned in a sermon that my wife's favorite food is homegrown tomatoes. And I'll be honest with you, it was kind of a shameless plug, hoping somebody bring her some homegrown tomatoes in an effort to honor her, because I cannot grow homegrown tomatoes. And I said this in the sermon. I explained how multiple times in our marriage, I've tried even in different areas and different places we've lived to grow tomatoes. I am incapable of growing anything you would ever want to put in your mouth. That is just not going to happen. It's not going to work. In fact, what happened last year is somebody, I talked about this homegrown tomato thing, I came in the office on Monday, and somebody, I don't know who, had dropped off a plant of tomatoes. And like, not tomatoes that had grown, but just like that would grow tomatoes. And I wanted to grab them and say, did you not listen to the sermon? I might as well put this in the trash because we're going to get as many tomatoes off of it that way as if I go home and put it in the ground at my house. They didn't listen to the sermon. I am not hopeful I can grow tomatoes. But the farmer in the story was hopeful he could get a crop by throwing seed on path. I mean, he wasn't wise. Like, if it was me, I would have calculated how much this seed costs. Is it financially worth it to throw seed into thorns or on a path in rocky soil? No, that's a waste of money. Don't do it. And it wasn't his fault the seed didn't grow. I mean, none of us would look at him and say, well, you did a bad job farming because thorny soil didn't produce a crop. We just know it's just a waste of time to put it there in the first place. The sower was crazy. If you think about that, he really kind of comes off like an idiot. I mean, imagine this. Imagine after church today, you go to your grandma's house, and she still lives on her own. She's getting really up there in age, but so far she could stay on her own. And you roll up to her house, and she's outside, and she's doing something. You walk up, and you see her with a handful of seed, and she's scattering it on the sidewalk. And you say, "Nana, what are you doing?" And she says, "I'm just trying to grow some grass." You turn to the person next to you and say, "It's time to put Nana in a home." Don't look at me like that. You would do that. Why? Because it's crazy. Nobody plants seed on a path. Nobody plants seed on rocky soil. Maybe just has unlimited seed, but it's kind of crazy. And here's my point. As crazy as that farmer acts in scattering seed everywhere, in the small hope that some of the seed will sprout up in the cracks or among the thorns, that's exactly what God does for you. Now, please get this. God doesn't write you off. Acts chapter 17 makes abundantly clear God has determined the exact time and place where every single person in history should live so that every single person in history would have the opportunity to bump into Jesus and find him. That'll blow your mind. Jesus doesn't give up on people. It doesn't matter the condition of your heart. He wants to grow something there. Judas is the man that betrayed Jesus, yet Jesus had invited Judas to be in Jesus' inner circle. He had a chance. Was it crazy? Yes, because Jesus cares that much. So if you have wavered, if you've wandered, if you've made yourself into thorny soil, God is still calling you. He's saying, "Come back. I still love you. I still want you. I still have good plans for you." He hasn't given up on you, and he knows what's best for you. I don't know why that thing happened that brought you so much pain or maybe even bitterness, but I know God wants to redeem it and get you through it now. Repent and be baptized. Embrace his calling on your life. Give your life to him. You will experience true life both now and forever in heaven. Let me give you one lesson for today. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, get out your phone because I want you to take a picture of this. You need this. Here it is. Sow indiscriminately. Sow indiscriminately. You can't tell the soil of someone's heart, so you sow indiscriminately. You have a heavenly Father who even tries to get someone planted in thorns to come home. You sow indiscriminately. Don't play it safe. Sow indiscriminately. You'll get your heart broken because you will pour into someone and they'll leave. You keep sowing. You'll scatter seed here and they'll sprout up and the relationship will wither. You keep sowing. You'll pour into someone, they'll let you down. You keep sowing. You'll get mad because somebody will turn their back on you after you tried. You keep sowing. Jesus said this would happen. And it will be heartbreaking. But we have been called to a great task. We have the best seed in the world. See, here's what's happened with some of you. There are some people here who used to sow indiscriminately, but you got hurt. Because when somebody walks away, or when someone doesn't grow, or when somebody looks at you and says, "You let me down," after you had tried, it hurts. And the temptation's to harden your heart. To say, "Well, I'm not going to try it again. I'm not going to be vulnerable. I'm not going to sow into the lives of others because I'll get criticized. I'll get hurt. I'll be taken advantage of. It won't work." Listen to me. Please don't let your heart get hard. Please choose to keep sowing, to keep spreading the gospel, to keep fighting the good fight. Because Jesus says the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word. They produce a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Here's what this made me think of. There were a lot of times when I looked like bad soil. But I had dozens, if not hundreds of people who kept sowing seed in my life. And most of them have no idea. But it has produced a crop more than 1,000-fold. And the same is true for you. So if there is that person on the periphery that you want to give up on, don't. You got still fresh pain from the person who walked. Don't let your heart get hard. You keep planting. You be hopeful. You'll look crazy. Other people, even other Christians, are going to say, "Why are you wasting your time?" And you're going to know in your heart of hearts, the reason I'm wasting my time is because I'm acting like my heavenly Father, a heart-sick Father who is planting seed in the heart of my life, waiting for me to come home. Don't give up. Because Galatians 6:9 says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You were part of a group, but now they all hang out without you. You feel alone. You don't want to even get in any group again ever. You keep sowing. You baptized a friend only to see him walk away from Jesus. And to be honest, you feel partly responsible. You keep sowing. You had a friend you thought had your back, but they walked away and didn't even say goodbye. You don't even want friends again after that. Keep sowing. You've invited them 100 times before, and it's not just that they've said no. They purposefully say no in a way to make you feel small. You keep sowing. You live in a world broken by sin, and you want to wash your hands of it. You want to retreat into your own privacy and just say, forget this. You keep sowing. See, Mosaic, I truly believe we're entering the most important season of ministry as a church we've ever had over these next 4 months, starting today. Jesus is our hope. So let's plant the gospel like never before, because if we don't give up, we will reap a harvest beyond what we can imagine. So let's be a group who chooses to sow indiscriminately. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. And we're going to do what the band sang about. We're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to plant seed in crazy places. We're going to give our lives for this because you gave your life for us. We love grace. We love truth. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.